recording it already. You should not have any mic issues. I'm also recording two different ways. Testing, testing. Okay.
Call this meeting order. Testing the call in from my current state with this mask, so it's a little under the weather. So we will call the order and do the call.
All right, and then approval authority members, just a point of order for this morning. We have new microphones today, so as you are doing your discussion, do your best to press the on-off buttons in the new mics that are in front of you. If you have technical issues, please let us know. Okay, so we will start with roll call. City of San Francisco.
Mary Ellen Carroll here.
County of Alameda is absent, potentially joining either by primary or alternate in a few minutes. County of San Francisco absent. City of Oakland.
Jessica File, City of Oakland, present.
City of San Jose.
Ray Beard, present.
County of Santa Clara.
Michelle Sandoval, present.
Thank you. Noting that Michelle is the designated alternate. County of Contra Costa.
Jose Beltran here.
County of Marin.
Stephen Torrance, present.
County of Monterey.
Kelsey Scanlon, present.
County of San Mateo, absent. And County of Sonoma.
Good morning, Jeff Duvall, present.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Great. We will jump into the approval of the minutes. I would like to, at this point, see if anyone has any corrections or comments, questions about the minutes from our last meeting, March 13th, 2025. Not seeing any. Do we have any public comments in the room? Not seeing any. Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Seconded.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next, we will move to the general manager's report, and I'm going to turn it over to Adrian Kelly for that.
Good morning, approval authority members. I have four items for the general manager's report today. The first, though, is going to be deferred to item number six for our discussion, and that is the status of our federal grants and associated projects. We'll discuss that a bit more shortly. Item B is the status of our subcommittee that was established last meeting for the MOU and bylaws revision. That subcommittee has met four times since our last approval authority meeting on April 21st, May 15th, May 20th, and May 22nd. This subcommittee has extensively reviewed the MOU and the bylaws from 2021. We have some redline versions that will be presented to all of you, along with a matrix that outlines the recommended changes from the 2021 version to the 2025 version. Very likely, this item will have to be called into a special meeting in the future between now and August to review and vote on these new bylaws and MOU. The reason for that is if we wait until the next meeting in August, there very likely will not be time to get all of those signed through every single jurisdiction. So the chair will be reaching out to the other members on the approval authority to determine the time frame by which you all think you would need for signatures on this. If that time frame is too long, we will need to call a special meeting of the approval authority before the August meeting. So just make a mental note of that, should that be required. But we will be distributing additional information prior to that meeting so that you may review the proposed changes to the MOU and the bylaws by that subcommittee. Any questions about that? Okay.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Will it be a poll or availability or not there?
Yeah, I would assume so, because we would definitely need a forum for that, and everyone should have the opportunity to attend according to the schedule. Item C here for item two is just a quick update on our non-competitive procurement authorization process. We have been in many, many talks with Cal OES over the last several months regarding non-competitive procurements, especially around trainings and some around equipment. And I just wanted to provide a reminder to all of the members on the approval authority about the definition of non-competitive procurement as the federal and state interpretation states. And that is that a non-competitive procurement is one that only receives a single bid, regardless of whether or not that single bid was incorporated into a larger a solicitation that received multiple bids, and regardless as to whether or not it follows local sole source requirements. And so this has come up several times in the last several months with some of your jurisdictions, and has come up between the Bay Area, UWASI, and Cal OES. We have clarified everything, and I just want to make very, very clear that there will be no retroactive sole source acceptances from the Bay Area UWASI. So if any of your subrecipients, any of you as subrecipients are conducting trainings or are purchasing equipment and you are not adhering to the compliance requirements for competitive solicitations, and you make that purchase or you host that training and submit to us after the fact for a retroactive sole source approval, we will not be able to approve that. And so I just want to make sure that all of you are aware of this. This is not new, but it is being newly enforced meticulously by the Bay Area UWASI. So if you or your staff have any questions about this, please reach out to Molly, who's our compliance manager, and reach out to the rest of the Bay Area UWASI management team through the program side to ensure that you're doing all of the compliance requirements ahead of time and not retroactively. Any questions about this? All right, and sub-item D is the normal sub-item where I go through responses to any outstanding questions. All of the outstanding questions that we had from our last meeting were in regards to the FY25 National Priority Area projects. Because at the March meeting, we had assumed we would have a NOFO for these projects that outline the eligibility by this meeting. We deferred to this meeting. Unfortunately, we do not yet have that NOFO, so we are going to defer this one as well. Both the future discussion of those national priority area projects for FY25, as well as any of the outstanding questions that you all have related to those eligible projects. Unless there are any additional questions, that concludes my general manager's report.
Any additional questions? Any public comment on this item? Not seeing that. With that, we don't have action items there. We will move on to item three, which is our proposed reallocation of FY24 project funding.
And thank you, Madam Chair. Just as an introduction to this item, we noted that while we were doing the review of the MOU and the bylaws, it is written in our bylaws that the approval authority needs to approve any changes of scope of any project that exceeds $250,000. In prior approval authority meetings, this was done retroactively. At the end of every calendar year, you were presented with a list of the scope changes and did vote to approve those scope changes, but those were really done retroactively. In order to make sure that we are fully compliant with our bylaws and our MOU, we need to present these scope changes ahead of time before we actually make those changes to all of you for approval. So today we have two of those said changes. One is from Santa Cruz County that is proposing to move a piece of equipment purchase from Santa Cruz County to instead to Monterey County. And then the second item here is about our RCPGP program. And so I'm going to turn it over to Santa Cruz County.
point. Who's going to share? Thank you.
Good morning. Lieutenant Christopher Shear from the Santa Cruz County Sheriff's Office. We're absolutely greatly beyond appreciative of the award of the $350,000 in fiscal year 24 for the purchase of a lawn robot to replace our outdated equipment that we have in Santa Cruz. Due to some fiscal uncertainty that we have locally in our county and then obviously the national landscape, we don't really know if there would be guaranteed timely reimbursement of the funds. So in the benefit of fiscal stewardship, fiscal responsibility, working with our close partners in Monterey County, we work very closely with, especially the bond aspect of regional responses, we're asking them to transfer that allocation of purchase to Monterey County. Doing so would still, obviously, would help us with our fiscal responsibility locally, but it would also help us still maintain that regional support and regional capabilities between the agencies. With that, I don't think if there's any more information we have, if you guys have any questions, I'm happy to answer. And we've slowed Monterey County's on the same page as us and is willing to accept the allocation. And I believe their equipment is non-existent or outdated.
My words is very old.
Well, any questions?
I mean, I think this is a good solution to the problems that we have and being able to fulfill the project. So for me, it's anybody else's question? Okay. We need to do a... So I'm going to move to approve this request. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion to approve.
And a second?
Second.
action item. I do want to just call your attention to our recommendation, and this will be similar for item number five as well. The items number four and five are both built off of low confidence assumptions due to the federal grant instability that we are seeing for FY25. So item number four is built off of, it is based on our management team and all of our staff as we are funded by the federal grant streams. We are calculating all of this based off of what we could accomplish with the staff as presented in item four, based off of FY24 award numbers, because that is the only number that we currently have, as we have not yet received the FY25 NOFO. So our recommendation will be for this action item for this body to approve the proposed work plan for the next fiscal year, the management team org chart as presented, as well as the position descriptions that are all within your packet today. Even though these are not super high confidence assumptions due to the federal grant instability. We also, with that recommendation, recommend that any significant adjustments would be brought back to this body to reapprove at a future date. So I just want to briefly call your attention to sub-item A here, which is the annual work plan. It is itemized by month here for our major key deliverables, and then also provides some information on our ongoing work. We did this in an effort to kind of condense and give you all a snapshot of what the Bay Area UWASI intends to accomplish over the next fiscal year. I do want to note that there are some things, such as our work group meetings and our regional training and exercise program, that is planned on the calendar year. So within this work plan, you will really only see details on those types of programs within the first 6 months of the fiscal year work plan. And as we add those, we can bring those back to all of you just for your awareness. Please review the major milestones as well as the ongoing work that is in your agenda packet. Item B here is up on the screen. This is our management team org chart. These are the staff that it takes to accomplish this management team work plan. One thing I do want to note that will become more apparent as we get to agenda item number five next is that there are two positions on this org chart that are that darkest color. And this org chart represents some budgetary reductions that we need to make with our budget proposal to ensure that we are remaining and operating within the confines of the realistic budget that we're provided. Over the course of time, you know, staff get cost of living increases. In addition, in the last year, we were able to bring on one additional position, which is our regional communications manager that many of you have already seen great benefit from. And so all of those things combined have led to increased personnel-related costs. However, we want to make sure that we're keeping these down. So the org chart as proposed, this is a slight reorganization from prior UWASI org charts. It does not put, it consolidates, and the biggest change here is it consolidates two teams to be truly under one UWASI team. Before, we had a training and exercise team that was one manager, and then we had our national priority projects and the rest of our program team. Both of them were UWASI funded. This org chart recommends that we consolidate those to make the most use of the resources that we have available. So that is within agenda item, sub item B. And then lastly, sub item C for this management team report outlines position descriptions, high level descriptions of every person on this org chart. So you have a general understanding of the level of effort that it takes to perform the work plan that's in agenda item sub item A. And it also gives you an understanding of how we have done some reorganization to best utilize the resources we have and what each of these positions and the people in those positions would be doing. So this is all in your agenda packet. I recognize that it is a lot of information, but I'm happy to take any questions if you've not had an opportunity to thoroughly review it.
Thank you for the work that you've done bringing this together and bringing it for us. I greatly appreciate seeing the milestones that are coming forth for the next fiscal year. What my question is, and I didn't get a chance to approach this beforehand, but with the unfunding of the general manager position, and how will that leadership team be put together?
I think that I'm going to look at the legal counsel for a moment. I think that that part of that will be in the closed session discussion due to a public appointment for a public employee. Is that the case? Okay, so we will be able to address that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Any public comment? Is that it?
We're voting.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's true.
And again, the recommendation here would be the motion to approve this would be contingent on any major changes due to changes in work plan based on federal funding changes, that would be brought back to this approval authority to reapprove a new org chart, a new work plan, and new position descriptions.
I think we can save that for if we revisit this.
Yeah.
So, but in for the time being, to keep the machine going, we're going to vote on this. This word chart for a moment. Motion to approve.
Ask questions.
You can ask questions. If we have more questions, we can continue the questions.
Don't be shy.
I guess just generally, not necessarily the personnel component.
Sure.
I do second Jessica's question of trying to figure out how do we improve this structure without really being able to have some general understanding how the organization will actually operate. But I kind of see these as two separate vectors, but being able to just try to figure out if the assistant general managers is gaining more, you know, authority within the organization, if there's, you know, shifting roles. You know, one of the things that we've had over the last couple of months is we've had one-on-one contact with the general manager. And so trying to figure out how will that be overcome with this new structure and bring that type of coordination to shift.
Would we be able to potentially postpone this vote until after closed session, or potentially not choose to not accept it at this time and then?
So we can definitely table the item until after the closed session and maybe bring it back and further discuss it if that's what the board would like to do.
Could we make a motion to approve parts A at C and table B?
If that was your motion, that's awful.
Can you just present what that is?
Yes, so the motion on the table at this point is to approve the milestones and deliverables as represented in the work plan, as well as the position descriptions as represented in sub-item C. However, the overall organizational chart would not be approved with this motion and would be revisited after closed session or potentially at a future meeting, depending on what the board would like to do.
So I'm just going to repeat it for the board. So what is up for the vote at the moment is to approve part A and B.
C.
I'm sorry, A and C of the work plan and position, which includes the work plan and the position descriptions. We will table B and revisit that after the session. We have a motion to approve.
I'm to approve.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
I got a question.
Sure.
So regardless of what the org chart looks like, the position descriptions are not going to change, right?
Well, if the org chart significantly changes, then we would need to change those position descriptions should consolidation of some positions be required.
So I think what we've got in front of us is, for today, we have a closed session to discuss personnel appointment matter related to the general manager position, which will inform us and help us to make a decision about the org chart and better understand that. The
the discussion in closed session will not have any material impact on the work plan or the position description. However, it is very likely that based on, we are basing this on assumptions that in the past tended to be
higher confidence,
reliable,
yeah,
and are not at this time. It is highly likely that we will come back in a subsequent meeting and have to revisit a revised work plan. But we have to approve some work plan and job descriptions for now, which is the work is continuing. So this is just the nature of really kind of unpredictable and unstable environment that we're in.
So although we have heard the motion and the second to approve A and C, is there any issue with that? All right.
So let's go ahead and vote. Are all in favor of approving A and C in this item?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, we're going to move forward.
Did we do public comment?
Yeah.
Yes, we did. Okay, thank you. I'm losing track too, everybody. Okay, agenda item number 5, I'm just going to quickly introduce it. So similarly, this budget is representing 3 things. It's our overall revenues and expenditures based on those revenues. It also outlines our personnel detail. And so there's two parts to the first part and one part to the second. So overall, again, this budget's based off of FY24 amounts and allocations. We have not received the notices of funding opportunity for any of our 3 grants. However, we did get something from STC this morning, which is great, and does allow us to utilize existing unencumbered funding as a carry forward for STC moving into the next year. So there are some higher confidence assumptions on the STC side of this grant. That is an update from what you show in your packets because it is hot off the press. So with that, I'm going to present our Chief Financial Officer, Tristan, who's going to come up and walk you through this. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Before you for approval is our proposed management team budget for the upcoming fiscal year. This budget is well aligned with the budget you just saw earlier. In light of our responsibility to be prudent stewards of UAS funding and given the current uncertainty surrounding forthcoming NOVOs, we have prepared a conservative budget that reflects an approximate 5% reduction in revenue sources. The proposal accounts for the ongoing COLA adjustments, as well as the mid-year addition of the regional communication manager position, as our GM just explained earlier. The majority of the budget reduction results from the elimination or defunding of 2 positions, the general manager and the junior administrative analyst. Additional savings are achieved through reduced operating expenses, specifically in the areas of rent, travel, and office supplies. Again, this one is an action item. Let me just highlight that this scenario is very much aligned with the org chart that we just saw. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
And I also want to reflect this handy bar chart that shows that we are doing our best to be conservative fiscal stewards of this grant funding.
So, I mean, I guess I just want to say I'm assuming many of us are looking at, you know, tracking what is going on with the administration and DHS related funding. And so there are a lot of uncertainties, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the impacts of that in a second. But I appreciate the fact that, you know, we need to take these
actions to move forward with based on the information that we have now. So, any questions or other comments? Yes.
So does it make sense to approve a budget if the org chart might change in our closed session conversation?
I think it does because we represented here what the org chart had as grayed out, and so it does reflect the reductions there. If we change the org chart, then this the recommendation for approval here is actually again contingent on us returning with a higher confidence budget once we get more information from the feds, as well as once we have a revised org chart, and then we'll be able to actually have firmer numbers that we think are more realistic. But at this point, you know, this is a budget that reflects operating expenses that are required 2 weeks from now, and so it is important to at least have some sort of contingency approval should this board agree with that, so that we can continue our operations even in the midst of these changes. It looks like we haven't spent a lot of this down, but we do have
have much of this encumbered in equipment purchases, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But this is the current status for FY22 across all three of our grant streams. For FY23, again, there's additional details within your packet for each grant stream. We have spent down 23% of the UWASI award. We are basically right in the thick of FY23. If you just think about three-year performance periods over time, FY22 is pretty much done. We are right in the middle of FY23, and FY24, though technically the three-year performance period has started, we haven't really gotten to those projects yet. So FY23 consists of the most active projects that are happening right now. We've already spent 23% of our UWASI projects. Again, you can see what's remained, what has been spent, what's remaining in your agenda packets. For RCPGP, we have spent down 24%. And then for STC, we have spent 68% of our allocated money for FY23. And then for FY24, again, we're just at the start of FY24 projects. For UWASI and RCPGP, the performance periods go into calendar year 2027. So I don't want you to look at this and be nervous that we are not further along, even though the performance period started in October for FY24, because we are planning and actively working on this. Some of this, though, will lead us in our discussion when we're talking about FY24 projects. With everything happening at the federal level, there may be an opportunity for all of you on this board to consider reallocation or at least revisiting the approved FY24 projects that this body approved last year. And the reason for that is if we continue to move things around, we don't want to lose any money, we don't want to return any money, and we want to make sure that we're getting the most bang for our buck with the priorities that all of you have. And so we'll revisit that in a moment. But for FY24, we have begun spending things. I want to call your attention to one thing in your packet that notes that, where did this one say? That we were still awaiting the official award letter from Cal OES.
Did we get that one yet?
No. Okay. But we have received verbal confirmation from Cal OES. So the overall process is that we received the award letter. That award letter, once signed by me, which was done in October, begins the performance period. And that acts as our grant agreement. However, after that, we have to get additional approvals that were already pre-approved by Cal OES and FEMA. We need to get all of those projects that were already pre-approved officially approved. And Cal OES has had a lot of staff turnover over the last 6 months, and so they have had some trouble getting us very expedited official approvals. However, we have the verbal, and we have all the pre-approvals, so we don't have any concerns that these projects should not be ongoing. Yes?
I'm sorry, I missed which day that was for.
This is for UWASI FY24.
Okay.
Yeah. And so this is, I just wanted to make sure everyone is tracking our progress over time across all three grant streams, across all three fiscal years, just as to bring us into context for what we're dealing with right now. Any questions or concerns? There is some more information outlined in your agenda packet for you to peruse, just about our current status. So I want to move us into a discussion about FY25. So as I mentioned earlier, that last bullet for STC, that changed this morning, so that's great. But while we have allocated money in the federal budget for FY25, we have not yet received the notices of funding opportunity that generally outline how much we are going to be allocated as the Bay Area urban area. And so that is new, that is different, and that is the cause of a lot of our current uncertainty. As you can see on the screen, these are the budgeted, approved, and congressionally appropriated amounts for these three grant streams. However, we do not have any indication of our FY25 award for UWASI, which again, as you all know, is the vast majority of the funding that we receive
not received a notice of funding opportunity for RCPGP either. What the update for STC, for all of you to be aware of, is that about a month ago, we received notice from CWMD, so just as a reminder, UAC and RCPGP fall under FEMA, but STC falls under CWMD, the Countering Weapons of Mass Destruction Office, all under DHS. We received notice from CWMD that STC expansion was paused, and in addition to that, the reimbursement requests that we were submitting on a quarterly basis were also paused, and in addition to that, new equipment purchases were also paused. So while STC as a program has been allowed to continue, there are some pretty critical components of our program that have been paused by the feds. The one thing to note is that the STC performance period is only 1 year. It's on a fiscal year rather than the 3 year performance period of the other two grants. And so STC FY24 is up June 30 of this year in a couple of weeks. We received information this morning that we will not be permitted any additional funding for FY25 for STC. However, CWMD will allow us to utilize any unspent and unencumbered money from prior fiscal years as a carry forward for STC to continue that program in FY25. Our amount locally is just over $2 million in carry forward. And so we will be submitting that as soon as possible into the grants management system for STC to apply for using that $2 million and change for FY25-26 to continue the STC program. We do not have any information as to whether or not the equipment pause will be unpaused. The vast majority, about 70% or so of our $2 million is earmarked for equipment purchases. In particular, there are four mobile radiation detectors that are mounted on vehicles to the tune of about $1.2 million total that this board approved last year that we were about to purchase and then everything got paused. So we have about $1.2 million of STC equipment purchases that is ready to hit go on if that equipment is allowed to be purchased in the future. If it's not, we will need to work with CWMD to reallocate that equipment money to something else. And I would assume that would be brought back to this body to discuss and determine how we would want to spend those remaining unencumbered and unspent funds. What we do know about STC is that we will get this $2 million of carryover to operate for fiscal year 25-26 through June 30 of 2026. It's just what that program looks like is still yet to be determined, but the program itself and the staff will be able to continue. So we have more information about STC than about the other two grants, and so that's why the other two grants are based off of the FY24 assumptions that we have. The other thing that I want to note about FY25 funding that has been brought up by this board before is the existing standard terms and conditions from the Department of Homeland Security. These are new. The fact that standard terms and conditions exist is not new, but they have added additional terms that are publicly posted that in some interpretations may deem the entire state of California ineligible to receive this money. I just want to call your attention to that, and this is due to sanctuary policies. I want to call your attention to that. I don't think it's appropriate for us to have a robust discussion about that since it is a legal matter and legal interpretation. However, I want to make sure that you all are tracking that because that also greatly contributes to the kind of instability of FY25 funding. Even if we do receive notices of funding opportunity for these grant streams, we would still need to check with all of our legal counsels to ensure we can actually adhere to the grant requirements and the grant eligibility requirements posted with this FY25 funding.
So all of that to say, I just want to recognize that the status of FY25 money is still very unstable, and that is why we're having this discussion today. And then just before we kind of open it up, I also want to briefly discuss the FY26 budget. So this was released by the Federal Office of Management and Budget. Was that just last Friday? Maybe it was two Fridays ago. These days are long. But the Office of Management and Budget did present their proposed budget for FY26 at the federal level. This has not been approved by Congress. This is not official. However, it is the president's recommendation and the executive branch's recommendation. I want to note a couple of things that pertain to the Bay Area UWASI. And I also want to mention there are other implications to all of you as subrecipients for grants not listed that we are not going to discuss today, things like EMPG, things like SHSHP, but we're not going to talk about those because those don't directly relate to the Bay Area UWASI. So I just want to make sure that we're focused on the three grant streams the Bay Area UWASI is managing. So for the UWASI grant itself, the FY26 budget, as proposed by the executive branch, does two important things. One is it reduces the overall allocation by about 22%. It goes from, I think it's 556 million, down to about 415 million. So that's one important thing. The other important thing, actually more importantly for this board to consider, is the existence of a 25% match. We are assuming that this match is being proposed in an effort to not cut the funding across the board and basically say the feds are going to now pay 75% and the locals are going to pay 25% to get you to that 100%. However, there will be some pretty significant implications of that match that I'll get to in just a moment, so I want to call your attention to that. For RCPGP in the FY26 proposed budget, it does not list any budget for RCPGP. Granted, the RCPGP program nationwide is very, very small. San Francisco and the overall San Francisco Bay Area is pretty unique in the fact that we've actually been able to really greatly benefit from the RCPGP program. It's really been only about $11 or $12 million every year, and we've been able to get between $1 and $3 million. So it's a huge deal that we've been able to get as much money from RCPGP as we have been. But that is not funded in the FY26 budget as presented by OMB. And then STC is also not funded in FY26. However, it is mentioned, and it is mentioned as continuing to be an essential program. However, CWMD as an office at the federal level is anticipated to be completely dissolved. And because of that, the FY26 federal budget recommends moving the STC program out of CWMD, because CWMD won't exist anymore, and into CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. However, again, there's no line item for FY26, for STC listed in the FY26 budget. The last thing on this that I want to mention is this note that I have in italics here on the slide. Earlier this week, the House Appropriations Subcommittee did mark up this and is presenting a bill that marks up the existing budget as presented and looks to restore a lot of this funding. So the House Appropriations Subcommittee is looking to bump the UWASI allocation up, actually past what we had in FY24 levels, which would be amazing, up to $615 million. Rather than the 415 that is proposed by the executive branch now. In addition, it bumps up RCPGP from 0 to 9.7. That happened this week, that markup and that bill introduction, and the Appropriations Committee, the full Appropriations Committee, is actually doing that markup this morning, 9 a.m. Eastern. I did not get an update on that yet. That is happening now, and we will have some more information from that. The last thing I forgot to mention is the proposed bill from the House Appropriations Subcommittee on Homeland Security is for
proposing, rather than SDC going to CISA, is having SDC go to FEMA. So that is as it's written and as it's being negotiated right now. Okay, so that's like my context setting. Any questions about that context?
About the FY25 terms and conditions.
Yes.
You mentioned that legal teams are reviewing and to see for compliance and eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
When you say legal teams, are you referring to the WASI legal team or individual county legal team?
I'm referring to the latter. There have been some meetings that San Francisco, as the fiscal agent's legal team, has called with the legal teams of all of the other jurisdictions to make sure people are aware of the potential ineligibility based on the FY25 terms and conditions. So while our council is fully informed, the decision-making power rests with all of you and as advised by your legal counsel. So there have been a couple of meetings already with the legal teams of many of you over the last several months to discuss some of this instability and some of those potential legal implications. And so I'm not a legal counsel, so I'm not privy to those, but I do recommend that all of you are in consistent communication with your counsel to make sure they're tracking these things and discussing it with each other.
Well, are we at liberty to, or the UWASI legal team to provide an opinion overall? Because, I mean, I know Contra Costa's legal team might be a little more, I guess, conservative than, you know, I don't know, maybe Monterey County. I'm just saying not every legal team is going to come to the same opinion.
Mm-hmm.
About this, and I think it needs to be a consistent and kind of even and opinion about this, because I just don't want to be under the assumption that we're playing under the same rules as somebody else, and then being being hosed for $7 million for expenditure.
We're still having those discussions amongst all the legal councils with all the member agencies, so we haven't come to a consensus at this time as far as what the interpretation is, but we're trying to make sure that we are all on the same page. And once there is some sort of action needed on our end, we would be sharing that with all the people.
Okay, so would it make sense to have kind of that opinion before the no vote gets released?
I guess it would depend on what the language in the NOFO is. So
that's the problem. We don't know what the NOFO is going to say, so we can't make a determination about how to proceed until we get the NOFO.
And
so we've got like chicken, egg, chicken situation going on.
And the assumption is that the NOFO will be required to adhere to the DHS terms and conditions as written, because the NOFO would be from FEMA, that's part of DHS. However, we don't know that for certain. There could potentially be call-outs in the NOFO that says, well, you don't have to follow this term. We don't really know that for sure until it comes out. But I think the last thing just to mention on this specific topic is, while each individual county and jurisdiction should be having these conversations, there are also these conversations happening at the state level. California as a state is a self-identified sanctuary state, and not to mention that Cal OES is the recipient of the UWASI grant rather than all of us. We as the Bay Area UWASI are a sub-recipient from Cal OES, and then all of you are basically considered sub-recipients. So while the RCPGP and SDC grants are direct from DHS to the Bay Area UWASI using San Francisco as the fiscal agent, the UWASI grant itself goes from FEMA to the state of California. And so the state of California is going to have to adhere to the terms and conditions as written, and then the subrecipients would be beholden to those same terms and conditions. So I just say that to say that even if we come up with a consensus, if that consensus does not meet or match the state consensus or the state's operational posture, it may still impact us.
And it also pending litigation from our local jurisdictions. So we've already seen some of that litigation working in our favor early on from the manual review that the administration wanted to impose that stopped through litigation. So I think the purpose of this item today, again, this is not an action item, but I do think that we only meet four times a year, and I do what we wanted to do is run through some options for how we might move forward depending on what happens. Mm-hmm. So we will not have a lot of certainty in this, but we do have some scenarios and some options that Adrian was planning on moving forward. If everyone's okay, I think we should jump into that.
So I have just four key kind of considerations that I would ask all of you to think through. The first is immediate term operations for the Bay Area that you all see. Given all of this uncertainty and given that San Francisco does serve as the fiscal agent, we need to make sure that we as the Bay Area UWASI are still serving all of you, but that San Francisco as the fiscal agent has some level of certainty and comfort level with continuing to operate the Bay Area UWASI in some fashion, both immediately and in the long term. So when we're talking about immediate term options, you know, we are comfortable with the work plan as presented, as you all just approved and voted on. We will discuss the organizational chart, but ultimately, as I kind of mentioned about FY24, it's important to recognize that there are some things that maybe we approved last year that we thought were good ideas last year and were our priorities last year for FY24 projects that may not be our ongoing priorities as we move forward with this time of uncertainty. You know, we saw Santa Cruz as their presentation saying, yeah, we want this bomb robots, $350K, okay, we need it, we want it. And now that there's some uncertainty, they said, I don't know if we can do that anymore. Thankfully, Monterey was able to come up with a really great elegant solution to that issue. However, as we look at FY24 projects, it's just a very important for all of you to consider whether or not you want to move forward with all of the projects and all of the projects as written and as funded in those areas. So that's one consideration that I hope that you all consider and discuss. The second is about this 25% match. And this is something that, if implemented, would be very, very impactful for the way that all of us operate and the way that the Bay Area UWASI has been operating. If this 25% match does go into effect for the UWASI grant, that will essentially do one of two things. One, put all of the onus of every single person on the leadership team and the 25% of their salary on the fiscal agent, which I do not think is a realistic scenario. And the other option would be essentially as party to the Bay Area UWASI, jurisdictions would have to buy in. Jurisdictions would have to contribute funding to this in a cost share model to cover the 25% of any management team expenses, but also any regional projects that are happening. And so this would start as proposed right now by the executive branch for FY26, and that performance period for UWASI would not go into effect until October of calendar year 2026 to run through May of 2028. But this is something that I really think that all of you should be thinking through about the future operations of the Bay Area UWASI
and what your individual jurisdictions can afford. As you're looking to get benefit out of this federal funding, that benefit now is only a 75% benefit instead of a 100% benefit. As currently proposed, this could change. It's not approved. It's still being worked up. It's still being negotiated. So I just want to mention this, and in terms of cost, this would depend on two key factors. It would depend on how many jurisdictions continue within the Bay Area, Milwaukee urban area, and the jurisdictions that not just make up the approval authority, but make up the entirety of our region. And it would also depend on the operations that you want the Bay Area UWASI to continue. And that includes not just our regional programming, but also how many staff. And so this really does depend on those two factors will need to play off one another to determine how to move forward. Again, the third consideration I kind of just touched on is these regional projects. The regional projects, in particular, the training and exercise program, as well as our fusion center in Nickerick. Those are our two most costly regional programs. And in order to continue those programs, among other regional programs like our threat and hazard, like our THIRA and our SPR, which is a requirement, like some of these things are regional benefits and would require additional cost share for this 25% match. And so I just, again, I bring this up because depending on how many regional projects or programs there would be and how many jurisdictions doing this cost share, those numbers would greatly fluctuate. And then lastly, the final consideration is you all should be thinking through what you want the future purpose of the Bay Area of UWASI to be, to continue to serve you. The regional structure that we have here is pretty unique, but I would argue that it's also very beneficial to be planning things as a region rather than just being a pass-through agency that gives people, you know, just individual jurisdictions money. We see, and I left my notes on my desk, but LA, San Diego, Denver, I believe Philly, like a lot of comps across the nation, their UWASIs are actually much smaller, and they do act as more of a pass-through, similar to a Cal OES. However, what they have noted is that that does not allow them the capacity to build regional coordination, to build regional plans, and to build regional response capabilities. And in a region like the San Francisco Bay Area, it could be argued that that's even more essential for us to have, as we're, you know, a peninsula, and we have the bridges, and we have so many people who live in counties, who work in different counties, and all of that, that's definitely a consideration. So as you think through how you want the Bay Area UWASI to serve all of you in the future, that I think that is on the table of a bit of restructuring, should you want it that way, to determine how we can make the most out of our money through either regional programming or pass-through. So that's the information I kind of have to present to all of you today. And I would like to turn it back over to the chair and open this for any discussion that you feel appropriate.
So I think, you know, this is truly unprecedented and very challenging issues that we have in front of us. As Adrian was talking, as we discussed, I think that we have, you know, there's different ways that we can go. And again, we're not making any decisions today, but this is more to prime folks, because the way that things are going at the state level and feds are going to come together, especially even before the next meeting, to actually make decisions, depending on what happens. So I wanted to use this as just a little kind of like exercise. I think, you know,
all of this comes to fruition and the 25% match and these different things, I think looking at the organization of Barry WASI would be really important. And I think a lot of us locally will have to really reevaluate sort of what we take on and what we don't. But I think it's hard to make a decision around sort of an unknown right now. It is for me.
Well, definitely, this will be a shock to all the jurisdictions involved. And it's not just the ones sitting at this table, it's all the jurisdictions that benefit from the trainings, the engagement, from the development of the plans that they can, you know, review and evaluate. Unfortunately, we're in this position, but you could also see the coming, which is the way the cuts were coming. And I think the whole push, and following some of the FEMA council activities that are going on right now, there was a push to make this go closer to home, the cuts all the way down. And then, so that's the way they're going to see us involved. How committed are we to these efforts? Show some skin in the game by the 25% match. So that was pretty much written on the wall earlier in some of the discussions.
I do want to say that I think that our participation in the Homeland Security Conference this summer, August, is more important than ever. And I'm hoping that, you know, as many people, we are extending the opportunity for each jurisdiction to send a representative. And, you know, again, this is really just, you know, we don't have to do a deep dive and make any decisions here, but I did want to ensure that, you know, Adrian talked to you about what we're seeing. Again, you know, none of this is, you know, codified or written legislation yet, and there are opposing, you know, there's an opposing bill. There's a bill that's coming that's a lot better than what the White House is proposing, but we cannot make any assumptions that that's going to happen. And as the fiscal agent, I have to, you know, I feel it's my responsibility to share all of this, to introduce to you what the possibilities are, and at the same time protect my own jurisdiction as the fiscal agent, you know, from exposure at some point, right? So we have to make sure we're right-sizing things and not getting too far out there. And same for you, right? Like, we even saw today, one of our first items was an example of that, of a jurisdiction not really able to expose themselves, but, you know, having another jurisdiction be able to cover that project. So, you know, people just want to kind of think about this and just leave here knowing that, you know, we have a lot of uncertainty, but please, comments, Stephen.
One thing that I think is important, because this body only meets four times a year, and I don't want to put another meeting on everyone's schedule, but I do think it's beneficial for us to maybe start thinking about a subcommittee just to really dive into this on a, you know, on an infrequent basis. As these things come out, you know, I'm going to put my cynical hat on for a second. I don't see that 25% match going away. You know, that's just, you know, we see it with the Emergency Management Performance Grant. I do think it's going to be something that's going to go across the board, very similar to what Greg was saying. The writing is on the wall with a lot of the cost sharing. So being able to have a group that goes through and starts looking at this as the legislation's coming out, just so we can have an established group that provides some type of feedback as these things are being dropped. You know, I don't think we're going to have much time to make significant decisions, and so that would be my, you know, I know it's not an action item, but I think that would be my recommendation is for us to really start leading into that just so we have that group established. We'll talk about this.
Just another comment. I absolutely agree with being proactive and starting to look at ways to reimagine the way that we are brought together. I can see a potential restructuring of the UOC management team into jurisdictions. So part of that cost share is really us bringing bodies to the table to help do this work and still maintain that regional planning focus so that we're able to work together and continue, but at a much smaller scale. So just some things to think about. I appreciate us coming together and having that regional focus. I would like to figure out a way to continue that.
Any other comments? Any public comments?
Know that there's going to be a grants management training held over at Teams July